Have you ever wanted to really get a handle on a super complex topic like fast, especially something cutting edge, academic?
Oh, absolutely. It can feel pretty overwhelming sometimes.
Well, that's kind of our mission today. We're doing a deep dive into something right at the frontier of mathematical physics.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, and what makes this really special is our source. It's not your typical published article.
Yeah.
No, it's actually a pre-publication copy. It's got this identifier, MR4850409, apparently sent to a Professor Lechen just for review.
Oh, so really fresh then.
Exactly. Dated May 2nd, 2025. So we're getting like a sneak peek at potentially groundbreaking stuff.
Okay, interesting. And where is this headed? Which publication?
Good question. It's slated for the Memoirs of the American Mathematical Society.
Okay. Memoirs.
Yeah.
That's a significant journal. Definitely a high bar for getting published there. Print ISN 00659266. Online is 1947-6221. Comes out bimonthly, I believe.
Right. And, thinking of publishing there, it's fascinating. Even just the practical side, I looked into it. The subscription costs for 2024, well, they're not trivial.
I bet high-level stuff.
Yeah, like US $10, $13 for electronic only, a bit more, $1,163 for paper,
Yeah.
plus shipping.
Wow.
And there's this detail, paper subscribers can get electronic access too if they ask. Sort of an interesting perk.
But beyond the cost, it's the editorial standards that really define memoirs.
Yeah,
They're famously stringent.
extremely. Papers have to be, and I'm quoting here, correct, new, non-trivial, and significant.
That's the key, isn't it? Significant. And they're usually quite long pieces, too.
Yeah, generally 80 to 200 published pages. So these are substantial contributions, not just minor updates.
Definitely. They're looking for major advances. And they even think about longevity,
How so?
They print on acid-free paper.
Acid-free, huh? Never thought about that.
Yeah, it's about preservation, making sure the physical copies last for, well, potentially centuries. It says something about their view of the work's importance.
That's actually quite cool. And of course, it's indexed everywhere that maters, right? Mathematical Reviews, Zentralblatt Math, Science Citation Index.
Absolutely. Its impact is widely recognized. It ensures the research becomes part of the permanent scientific record.
Okay, so we've established the journal is a serious business. Let's get into the paper itself. This specific preprint, MR4850409, what's the core topic?
Right. The paper dives into stochastic partial differential equations, or SPDEs for short.
SPDEs, okay.
And specifically, it focuses on something called Hartree stochastic damped nonlinear wave equations, or SDNLW equations.
That's quite a mouthful. What are these equations used for?
Well, fundamentally, SPDEs are crucial for modeling physical systems where randomness or noise isn't just a small error you ignore, but a really fundamental part of how the system behaves.
Okay, like real-world systems that aren't perfectly predictable.
Exactly. Think about turbulent fluid flow or certain quantum phenomena or even financial markets sometimes. Noise is inherent. These equations try to capture that mathematical structure.
So what's the big hurdle then? Why is this area so challenging?
A major challenge, and something this paper tackles head-on, is what's called the roughness of the space-time white noise.
Roughness.
Yeah, it basically means the random element is extremely irregular, very spiky, you could say. And this roughness leads to mathematical problems, specifically ill-defined products.
Ill-defined products, like you literally can't multiply certain things together in the usual way.
Pretty much. Imagine trying to calculate something precisely when one of the key components is fluctuating wildly, unpredictably, at every single point in space and time. Standard calculus kind of breaks down.
Right. Okay. So it's like the math tools aren't sharp enough for this level of chaos.
That's a good way to put it.
So, what's the goal of this paper then? What are the authors trying to achieve with these rough equations?
They aim to prove two main things. First, almost sure global well-posedness.
Okay. Break that down for us.
Well, posedness basically means solutions exist, they're unique, and they depend continuously on the initial conditions. Global means this holds for all time, not just a short period. And almost sure is a probabilistic term, meaning it holds with probability one, accounting for the randomness.
So proving that the equations actually make sense and have stable, predictable solutions over the long run, even with the noise.
Exactly. And the second main goal is establishing the existence of invariant Gibbs measures.
Gibbs measures. That sounds like statistical mechanics.
It is related, yeah. An invariant measure describes the long-term statistical behavior of the system. Finding one means that even though the system is random, its overall statistical properties don't change over time. It reaches a kind of statistical equilibrium.
So it's about finding underlying stability and structure within the randomness.
Precisely. Proving that these complex, noisy systems aren't just completely chaotic, but have some predictable long-term behavior.
Okay, that sounds incredibly difficult given the roughness you mentioned. How do they actually do it? What are the tools?
Well, this is where the innovation really comes in. One of the key techniques they employ is paracontrolled calculus.
Paracontrolled calculus. Never heard of it.
It's a relatively recent, quite advanced mathematical framework. It was developed specifically to handle these kinds of rough equations and give rigorous meaning to those ill-defined products.
So it's like a special toolkit designed for this exact problem.
In essence, yes. It allows mathematicians to sort of tame the roughness by carefully analyzing how different parts of the equation interact, even the problematic ones.
Okay. And how do they apply it here? Is there a specific trick?
There is a really novel idea in this paper. They perform a kind of transformation. They define a specific problematic term, this resonant product they call R, which is also related to other terms X and E, as a new unknown variable in the system.
Wait, so they take a difficult calculation and just call it R and treat it like something they need to solve for?
Sort of, yeah. It's much more sophisticated than that, of course. But by introducing R as a new unknown, they managed to rewrite the original, very complex single equation into a system of three coupled equations for three unknowns, x, y, and this new r.
And that makes it solvable.
It makes it tractable using the paracontrolled framework. Apparently, previous approaches often led to systems with only two unknowns. Adding the third one, this r, seems to be a key insight here.
That's clever. Are there other tools they use?
Oh, yes. They also bring in some heavy machinery from probability theory and analysis, things like variational methods.
Variational methods, like finding minimums or maximums.
In a very abstract sense, yes. They use specific techniques like the Boudou-Prix variational formula and something called the Barashkov-Gubinelli approach. These provide different ways to construct and analyze the solutions and, importantly, those Gibbs measures.
Okay.
And they also use Gersonoff's theorem, which is a powerful tool for changing probability measures, often used in stochastic analysis and finance, actually.
So multiple advanced techniques converging on the problem. It sounds like they're really throwing the mathematical kitchen sink at it.
It's definitely a display of advanced techniques.
Yeah.
Using these different methods, like the variational ones, also provides alternative proofs for the existence of the Gibbs measures, which adds a lot of confidence to the results.
Right, cross-checking their work from different angles. Okay, so after all this sophisticated math, what did they actually find? What are the big results?
The results are really interesting, particularly how they depend on a parameter in the equation, usually denoted by beta.
Beta, okay, what does beta represent?
It characterizes the nature of the interaction in the Hartree equation. Think of it as controlling how strongly different parts of the system influence each other, or the shape of the interaction.
Got it. So the behavior changes depending on this beta value.
Dramatically. Mm. And this is where one of the most surprising discoveries comes in. They found that the focusing Hartree-Gibbs measure is actually non-normalizable for certain values of beta.
Non-normalizable. What does that mean practically?
Well, a normalizable probability measure is essential for making sensible probabilistic statements. Mm-hmm. If it's non-normalizable, it essentially means the total probability blows up to infinity. You can't define probabilities properly. It suggests the system doesn't settle into a well-behaved statistical equilibrium under those conditions.
Whoa. So for which beta values does this happen?
They found this non-normalizability for beta less than 2. And interestingly, even at beta equals 2, if another factor, the coupling constant, let's call it sigma, is strong.
The coupling constant, that's like the overall strength of the interaction.
Exactly. So weak interaction versus strong interaction matters too, right at that critical point of beta 2.
So wait. For beta 2, it's non-normalizable if the coupling is strong. What if it's weak?
Ah, that's the contrast. For beta 2, with a weak coupling constant, the measure is normalizable.
Wow, so there's a really sharp threshold there. Weak coupling is, okay, strong coupling leads to this weird non-normalizable state.
Precisely. Mm. And the authors really emphasize the sharpness of these results. They've managed to pinpoint the exact conditions where the behavior changes. It's not just a vague trend. It's a precise mathematical boundary.
That's incredible, identifying such a critical threshold.
It really is. And the level of detail is impressive. They talked about the need for extensive renormalizations for different beta values, like beta 1 and beta 12. Renormalization is basically a technique to handle infinities that pop up in the calculations. The fact that they navigated all that speaks to the technical depth of the work.
So it sounds like meticulous, demanding work to get these sharp results.
Absolutely. Pushing the boundaries here required incredible precision.
This has been, well, quite the journey, from understanding the journal's prestige to wrestling with roughness and Gibbs measures.
It really shows how deep you have to go sometimes. This paper is a great example of how really rigorous math can shed light on the fundamental nature of complex physical systems, especially those with randomness baked in.
Finding that hidden order, like you said.
Mm-hmm. It pushes the edge of what we can actually understand and predict when noise is a dominant factor.
It certainly makes you think. You know, in a world that feels increasingly full of noise and unpredictable factors, it raises a big question. What new mathematical tools are we going to need next to describe maybe even more chaotic systems? And what other unexpected thresholds like that beta 2 boundary are waiting to be discovered?